holidays, a season with you, this season where we remember this Jesus who entered the world and came among us to show us God's love. I don't know what you do this time of year, but I'm kind of a creature of habit in lots of ways. There are certain, does anybody else do this? There are certain Christmas movies I watch every year and never get tired of. Does anybody else do this? Anybody? I'll give you my list real quick, the ones I really want to make sure I watch. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, right? That movie changed my life in 1989, and it's still doing it today. Love that movie. There's kind of a newer movie I like, Christmas with the Cranks. You like that movie? It's kind of a Rotten Tomato kind of movie, but I like it. You know, I like that movie. Let me see, what else is there? Oh, one of my absolute favorites is this movie called A Christmas Story. Everybody know the movie A Christmas Story? Yeah, oh, good. Yeah, wow. Lots of love for The Christmas Story. Yeah, if you don't know, this is the movie A Christmas Story. If you're not sure, you think maybe I know the movie, this should help. The famous triple dog dare. Now, this movie basically centers around this 9-year-old kid named Ralphie. And Ralphie wants more than anything in the world for Christmas, a Red Ryder BB gun with a compass in the stock and this thing that tells time. He wants it more than anything. And he goes to everybody he can possibly go to share this news. He shares this news with his parents, his school teacher, and even with a kind of angry mall Santa. And every single time he shares this, what do they tell him? You'll shoot your eye out. And so the kind of the point of the movie is this quest he's on to convince somebody that he's not going to shoot his eye. Of course, he gets the gun. Spoiler alert. He gets the gun. And what does he do 5 minutes later? Shoots his eye out. Right. So lesson for parents right there. But there's this subplot in the movie that I didn't really pay attention to until the last couple of years as I've watched it. And the subplot is that Ralphie listens to the Little Orphan Annie radio show every day. And there's this decoder ring you can get so that you can decode secret messages from Little Orphan Annie. And he drinks gallons of Ovaltine and he sends it away. And the day that he comes to the mailbox and it's there, he completely loses his mind. And he goes in and he listens to the Little Orphan Annie show and he writes down the letters and he tunes his compass thing to the right. And then he runs up to the bathroom because that's the only place where he says he can get privacy. And he shuts the door and locks it and he begins to decode. And he's working fast and you can just see the anticipation in this kid's. And then he's done. And he steps back. And does anybody remember what it says? Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. And he responds, a crummy commercial? I drank gallons of Ovaltine. I waited for a crummy commercial. There's this disappointment, right? He's like, really, like he feels betrayed. And I wonder for how many of us is that Christmas for us? Is that Christmas for you? Sometimes you kind of, maybe it's on the 25th that evening when all the wrapping paper's gone, you've drank all the eggnog and you're like, your sugar's at a million because you've eaten all that Christmas candy. Or maybe it's the next day, or maybe it's a week later when you're taking down the tree and you're putting up the tinsel and all those things. At some point, I think for many of us, this season has become an epic disappointment. It's become this time of year where we have to go be rude with people in long lines at stores. It's become this season where it's about schedules and about getting and about receiving and about buying and consuming. And Christmas, at the end of it, we're kind of left just with this little bit of a sick feeling in our stomach like we had too many sweets. And we're kind of like, what happened here? And so what makes this moment in times like this so important during seasons like this is it's important for us to just kind of pause and maybe pull back from the hustle and bustle of what maybe has already started for you. I know in our culture we have like 15 Christmases to get to, so you're probably going to leave here and go do something. So before you jump in tonight, before you jump in tomorrow, let's just pause and let's ask ourselves the question, what is the story we're gathering around? What is the reason that we celebrate this season of Christmas? Why in the 3rd century, 4th century, did Christians get together and say, we need a season to acknowledge the birth of Jesus? There's this passage in Luke 1 where this angel comes to a young girl named Mary. And this girl, Mary, most likely is 13, 14 years of age, 12, 13, 14, a very young girl. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So Mary is this young girl in the town of Galilee. She's from a place called Nazareth. Nazareth. Now, what we don't understand is because Nazareth is big to us because it was a rock band, right? And also because Nazareth, we all know that Jesus came from Nazareth. But actually, Nazareth was like Podunk. If you look at ancient maps, Nazareth was not on the map. There's one point when Jesus is walking along and calling his disciples, and a guy goes to Jesus, is anything good ever come out of Nazareth? Right? I mean, it's Nowheresville. It's a place nobody would stop. But God sends this angel, and the angel said, went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." This angel appears to this young girl, Mary, from Nowheresville, and he says, "Mary, you're going to have a baby. And this baby isn't just any baby. He is God's son. He's the Messiah, the Savior. He's going to turn history on its ear. He's going to turn it upside down world, right side up again. And God's going to do this through you, Mary." And the angel says a very specific phrase: "Don't be afraid. God is with you. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Mary, you don't have any reason to be afraid. All you need to know from this point on is God is with you." At our house this season, we started last year actually observing Advent as a family. And Advent, if you're not familiar, is this season leading up 4 weeks before Christmas. You start celebrating Advent. When you start reflecting on the coming of Jesus, you start preparing. And one of the things we've done is we buy these Advent calendars, and it's full of chocolate. Right? And so our little boy loves it. He loves opening the Advent. And he has a little scripture on the inside, and we talk about the Christmas story. And this year, we've tried to teach him this very thing. Every night when we open the calendar, it's like, what are we talking about? What the birth of Jesus. And what does it mean? Don't be afraid. God is with you. Don't be afraid. God is with you. I think it's interesting that Christians, we don't really know when Jesus was born. We know it was probably around the year 4 BC. We know kind of where he was born. But we don't know the time of day. And we really don't even know the month of the year. Christians chose this day in the 3rd and 4th century as a time to remember and observe and honor the birth of Jesus. But I think it's interesting that they chose this time of year. This is the darkest time of year, isn't it? It gets dark at 2 p.m. this time of year. You can do nothing outside this time of year. It's so dark and it's so cold. If you were outside at all today, you know it's absolutely freezing cold. And it's interesting that Jesus, we celebrate his birth at the darkest time of year, on the coldest, when nature is at its most dead, when there is no new life in nature. New life is ways away. And we choose this time of year to focus and to remember that this Christ came among us to show us the way, to be our light in darkness, to be our life in death, to give us hope and peace and joy, and to invite us to receive and embrace God's love for us, which we already have. We just aren't aware of it. There was an American writer in the early 20th century, and her name was Taylor Caldwell. And she wrote she wrote under pen names a lot, and she would use a masculine pen name because that at that point in time it got her work accepted a little quicker. But she wrote this reflection on Christmas, and she says that once in her 20s, so it was like the 1920s, the actual decade of the 20s, she says that she was at a low point in life. She didn't have a job. She had a little kid to take, a little girl to take care of. She didn't have a job. Everything was falling apart. Nothing was going right. Everything seemed to be unraveling at the seams. And one Christmas, she found herself within earshot, and she began to hear a church bell sound. And this is what she says about this experience. "The Lord is born," sang the bells to the crystal night and the laughing darkness. Someone began to sing, "Come all ye faithful." I joined in and sang with the strangers all about me. "I am not alone at all," I thought. I was never alone at all. And that, of course, is the message of Christmas. We are never alone. Not when the night is darkest, the wind coldest, the world seemingly most indifferent. For this is still the time God chooses. I think we have these ideas and emotions surrounding Christmas that it's all happy and bright and cheery. And most of us, that's not the world we've lived in, right? What has got you to this point in this year? You've probably not experienced everything being bright, happy, and cheery. Life is full of a lot of dark moments. It's full of a lot of moments when doctors come in and give you diagnoses that you weren't hoping to hear. It's when a partner comes in and says that he's leaving, she's leaving. It's when the boss looks at you and says, we no longer need your employment here. It's when everything seems to be unraveling. And what she says, it's in those moments. For her, it was in the moment when everything had fallen apart and she found herself in a group full of strangers singing, "Oh, come all ye faithful." And she finally realized it's not that God is with us when it's good and bright and cheery. It's that God is always with us. And if in the darkest night you will ever face, in the darkest moment of your life, that one truth, That one reality, she says, changed everything. I'm really not alone at all, am I? I don't know what you came in with tonight. I don't know what your year has been like. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what pieces you're trying to pick up and put back together. But I know that in your deepest, darkest darkness, at Christmas, we remember Jesus' light. You're not alone. You've never been alone. There's nothing to fear because you're never alone. This is the Christmas story we heard Doug read for us earlier. The angels sang into the night sky on the first Christmas, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Do not be afraid. It seems like every angel who appears in the Christmas story has one message for us, right? Don't be afraid. A baby has been born. You can look at your present, and you can look at your past, and you can look at your future in a completely different light when you realize this truth is true, not just for really good people, not just for church people, not just for religious people, not just for people who've done everything right and crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's correctly. This is good news for the entire world. If it's not good news for everybody, it's not good news for anybody. This is good news for the entire world. There is nothing to be afraid of. God is with you. If I could leave you, if I could leave my 4-year-old, if I could leave me with anything, it would be that. Don't be afraid. In the darkest moment of your life, when everything's falling apart, the God who entered the world the first Christmas, the God who came to us as a baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger, that same God in this moment, in this struggle, in this suffering, in this world, is with you. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? God, we're grateful for the reality we recognize at Christmas, that there's actually nothing to fear here, that there's no need to be afraid, because you're with us. You're with us in our bad news. You're with us in great news. You're with us when everything's going along at just the perfect clip. Everything's great. And you're with us when everything is disintegrating. You're with us in joy. You're with us in pain. And I pray for those of us here tonight who are carrying around grief and hurt, who are maybe in the darkest moments we'll ever face. Tonight, may we hear those words, "There's nothing to fear. God is with you. There's nothing to be afraid of. God is with you." As we remember Jesus' birth, as we reflect on his presence among us now, may we trust that he is the light of the world and that he is the light of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, let's stand together.